Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the main event. Welcome everybody to
Monk If You Love Wrestling Podcast.
Introducing first,
being accompanied by his best friend from wherever, weighing whatever, freshly squeezed,
T.B.C.
And now,
the best in the world, Mr.
Rizzo.
Welcome to the Honk If You Love Wrestling Podcast. This week, RB, TBZ, and myself, Mr. Rizzo, discuss the subject of our form of professional wrestling when we talk about new champions, the WWE Draft, AEW's Dynasty, the Bray Wyatt documentary, and we finally got what we wanted. Let's start the show. Did you want me to tell you what we finally got, what we wanted? But that's a little farther away in the day. I don't want to skip ahead.
Well, let's spoil the two of us. What is it that you didn't get that we? What did we finally get that we want?
Chucky T got to say shit on TV.
Hell yes, we will, guys. We will get there.
Chucky T got to finally say shit on TV. So that's we got what we wanted. You know, he's been saying it forever. I think it's been 5 years. We finally got it.
Thank you, Dwayne.
Yeah, if he's going to say whatever he wants, but, you know, I'm not sure. What else? We had a lot going on this week. You know, Fish at Sphere. If you really want to know how that is, you don't need to listen to my description. Look up what Drew Carey said about being at the Sphere, because that's 100% accurate from my point of view when I was at home. But let's see what else. We got the NFL draft. So we got the WWE draft. But last week we had a pay-per-view, right? We had an amazing pay-per-view.
Welcome to AEW Dynasty.
See, I was just hoping that we didn't say this because of how, like, it would have been bad, but I still like saying it. I like calling it Dynasty. I mean, it was awesome.
I like calling it Dynasty.
I hate it. I hate it. I hate you for saying it. That's not how we say it here in America. We call it Dynasty.
We don't say Dynasty?
No, we don't say Dynasty. I keep thinking that every time when I was watching that. I was like, don't say that.
I don't know. I mean, it works. It doesn't work because the show is amazing. If it was terrible, I would have stuck with it was Dynasty. But no, it was amazing. I loved everything about it.
The boys put on a great show, as they always do, with the high caliber talent that they have in that roster.
We did. They did.
I will also say, I had one quibble, but this may be an RB Snickers issue once again.
I didn't realize that there was a Snickers match.
It's the same one.
We're adding a third one in now. Oh, geez, I can't handle all these new terms.
Oh no!
Snickers match.
No! I thought they just meant they were sponsored. The match was sponsored by Snickers.
I'm talking about. I think RB just needed a Snickers because that match was better than he thinks it is.
Yep.
And interestingly, as it's the same dudes. It's the same dudes, and I'm still mad, but in the other direction this time. But that's not the beginning of the show. Mr. Rizzo, let's take it from the top.
I believe the first match on the card on the pre-show, or the was it called the countdown? I'm not exactly sure what they call the pre-show or the buy-in.
I think it's still the buy-in, even though it's not double.
It may only call the buy-in.
Zero hour.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. We had the Acclaim versus the Bang Bang Gang, and it was hot. I think it was a good start. And I think we got the line of the night in the first pay-per-view match. We got, I believe, Tony randomly saying poppycock. And Excalibur correcting him, saying, sorry, it's daddy ass, not poppycock.
I missed that. That's so good.
Oh, and again,
God, I'm usually on those too.
Line of the night before the pay-per-view started. I'm like, we're gonna be good today, because that was amazing. That was good. I thought Billy and Jay were great. I thought it was three honks. It was fun for me. I just loved everything about it.
It was really good. I do want to put in a little bit of work on the less so on the Trent and Seidel match. That was pretty much.
Oh yeah, my bad. My bad. Yep. It wasn't really the start, but yeah, I got you.
So Trent beat Matt Seidel like everyone knew he was going to. He showed a mean streak. As he was on his way out, Orange came out. There was a whole kind of showdown with Orange and with Chuck, and then he escaped. And then we had Shibata and Orange Cassidy versus Shane Taylor Promotions. And listen, this is going to be, I think, the third time I've said this. Shane Taylor is too cool to treat like this. He looked great, but Shane Taylor keeps showing up and just fucking losing. And you know,
he's pulling his Lance Archer. He's the Lance Archer.
We don't need more Lance Archers. We need Lance Archer to get a fucking belt. There's so many. All right, that's one.
We'll get there. Orange Cassidy and Shibata defeat via pinfall, mm-hmm. and then the Bullet Club versus the Acclaimed.
Wait, you forgot to mention how Chucky T decided to try and run interference with Orange Cassidy after the end of his match, which is why they kind of stacked these matches the way they did.
Well, I think it was,
thought it was at the end of the match. That's my bad.
So it was at the end of the Trent match, continued to beat up Matt Seidel. Chuck stopped him, which I didn't say before Orange came out and they were
right. No, I think I'm conflating it. I thought it was after Orange's match, not after Trent's match. Anyway,
this should just point out of how good the show was because we are arguing and talking about how good the pre-show stuff was.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't just like, I don't need to watch this. I'm like, this is all good. It's just a lot going on. I was making my food.
I'd say most of these matches were three plus honks.
Most of them, yeah.
I think I know which one we might get to that we might disagree on some. But you want to keep, just so we can keep it moving so we can get to everything.
Let's go to the main show.
You want to go with the opener? And I was like, how are they going to top this?
Well, for Zero Hour, I just want to say that I'm glad that they finally merged some belts, and now there's only one trios, or what are they called again? It's trios belts?
Trios. Yeah. Yes, trios. But I will point out.
That's a belts on Dynamite.
I was so mad.
Wait, what happened?
When the Bang Bang Gang came out at the beginning of the International Championship Gauntlet Royale clusterfuck, they had both sets of belts, which I also was unhappy with, mostly because I hate the pink scissor belts.
Oh, just stop. Don't say that. Those are amazing. But
even more so because the pink scissor belts are ugly. They're not even the right pink. Oh, but I digress.
They're different. I applaud those who thumb their nose at the box and say, let's make something different.
They got the scissors at the
end. Ain't that a good theming for what we're going to be talking about later?
Yeah, I was mad as well that they didn't. I'm hoping it's a collision thing that they're going to.
Here's what my hope is: they're gonna like taper them off. They're not just gonna go away cold turkey. It's gonna be like, hey, you know, like think of like a what was the tournament that Adam Cole
think about and Roman Reigns with his Roman Reigns walked in.
Back it up.
All the fun stuff with having two belts is one thing, but the fact that they are like a
they did man, say.
But they're for two different companies, and the fact that they, the companies work together, but they're separate, but the belts are together, so it's maybe they'll make a new belt that's like an AEW ROH belt for the six-man. I don't know, but the fact that they had both of them with them was upsetting, and yeah, let's talk about the match of Okada and Pac.
What a honking opener.
I honestly said to myself, like, Will Ospreay and Brian Danielson are gonna beat this, but I'm not really sure how. They do, but I'm really into this match. I was like, how do they start this hot? This is amazing.
This was the first match on this pay per view that got me worried for a superstar. Pac during this had incurred a very realistic neck injury, and I'm saying realistic as in it got me. I bought in. And I was just like, the entire time, I'm like, oh, no. I'm going to be worrying about this for the rest of the fucking match now.
Yeah, we had some hot moves with the DDT guardrail. They were trading drop kicks. We had neck breakers. But everybody popped when we didn't
stop get with the neck breakers.
Everybody popped when we didn't get the Rainmaker.
The spoiled Rainmaker spot was so good. So for those of you who may not understand exactly what you saw, there is a traditional thing that Kazuchika Okada does. He gets the crowd fired up. He stands in the middle of the ring, feet,
legs and arms apart, extended out like that picture.
Well, no. He starts in and then he kind of reaches back. And the thing is, the camera zooms in on him as he goes in and then explodes out to the wide shot of everyone cheering for him when he goes wide. So because Okada, who has been a heel on TV, that's his persona, had a full heel match and then started building towards this big face spot. And then he started working everybody. He's like, everyone's getting into it. Like, love Okada. And
it's
then
the Rainmaker. Ah!
And he flipped everyone off. It was
perfect. A close up pan of him just going, fuck you. And we're like, what? No. Why are you doing this? I love it.
I thought he was going to try to finish off Pac with the money clip. Thought we were going to get the money clip.
I really liked it. Was really good. I have no notes about this match.
Yeah, the notes are it honked.
When I say I have no notes, is that I have no notes.
Oh, sure, yeah. I just wanted
to say that to me on the main event, but I'll tell you why later. We want to keep it going with the House of Black, and then it was the Rated R Chicken Hawks. Is that what they called them?
Yes.
Briscoe, Eddie Kingston, and Adam Copeland.
Yep, against the House of Black, Malachi Black, Brody King, and Buddy Matthews in a trios match.
Yes.
This match was great.
Yep.
Entrance for House of Black was toit.
Everything was just really cool. Like, it was just like, yep, this is a good match. Other people who I spoke to were kind of surprised, but I'm like, Malachi Black is next for Cope. Like, this is going to be the next thing. I'm excited for it.
That'd be real toit.
It would be. You know, a lot of people are talking like, well, Malachi Black's about to go back to WWE. There's a lot of conjecture. There's a lot of the nation of speculation's got everything all up in a twist.
Didn't WWE just release a bunch of superstars?
Yep. But, well, you know, it's a free agent versus what's the term?
A franchise man?
A developmental talent, which isn't fair because Jinder Mahal is a former WWE champion, guys. We can't forget that.
Isn't he also released from WWE?
Yes, that's the... I was saying why he's not a developmental talent. Yep.
I thought you were saying he was there, and I was like, wait, what? Anyway.
I was calling him, they're all developmental talents.
My stupidity aside.
Your stupidity aside, this every time I see Malachi
the Black, superstar.
Every time I see the members of the House of Black in the ring, all I want to do is see them in the ring more. I love Malachi Black. I love Buddy Matthews. And Brody King is. And
you got to let the crowd know you got that dog in you.
Yeah. And there's only two people who do.
Yep.
Brody King and Willow Nightingale.
Ah, I love it. Ah, what a sweetheart. Anyway, back to House of Black. I feel like Malachi Black got a good showing in this match.
Yeah,
like, we actually got some good one-on-one, because it feels like the only time I see him now in AEW is when he's in these team matches. And, you know, that's, you get a third of what you actually want out of your superstar in those matches.
Especially someone like Black, who's such a unique talent with his Dutch Muay Thai.
I like that we got him to go against Kingston, you know, get a couple strikers going at each other. Always a good time.
Yes, yes, yes.
Mr. Rizzo?
Sorry.
Fish concert?
Nope.
Disappointed
in the other draft that's live happening at the moment that maybe a certain member is not on the Buffalo Bills.
We can record another day if you'd like, Mr. Rizzo.
Why? The draft is tomorrow and Saturday as well. Along with the WWE draft. What, you want to do a live look in at both drafts at the same time? See if we can interview somebody who's up to date on Tony Khan, on who he's going to pick for both of his teams? Like, shit, I messed that up. Tony Khan's not drafting the WWE. Anyway, let's go back to the House of Black. Anything else to say on them looking good?
To make a joke off of their Twitter spat.
I mean, unless you have anything else to say, Mr. Rizzo, I think we're good on this match. We've said what we needed to.
Well, RB brought it up, and I hope we get Hook versus Jinder Mahal. But Willow versus Julia Hart.
Julia's entrance was toy.
And rumor has it that the shortness, this match was very fast.
It was. It was kind of short. It didn't get a chance to get the three honks because it just kind of ended a little quick.
I gave it two honks for the finish because it didn't overstay its welcome.
Rumor has it that Julia Hart is still is not as cleared as we would like her to be. So that's why the match was in that structure and why it went that fast. Speaking of people who aren't cleared, Willow Nightingale wins the TBS championship, then gets her moment absolutely stolen from her by a thief named Mercedes Moné.
CEO, 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 CEO. Are they going to stop me or CEO?
I was waiting for you to get to 8 because that's the. So I will say on Dynamite, they dropped it down to 4. So
I was thinking about you. I was like, they have dropped down these CEOs. It's still annoying though. I think of you. Like, I was thinking that on watching Dynamite. I was like, here we go with the fucking CEOs again. God damn it. I'm sick and tired of this.
I think it's doing a good job. You don't like her.
That's not the way for a good heel, all right? God damn it.
You know, you. Listen.
You gotta, hey, they're next level to the alternative. They're not doing it the way you want them to do it.
No, you're right.
They're doing it this way.
She's gotta do something because she can't be a heel in the ring.
The thing is, hold on.
Got her! Because she doesn't fucking wrestle!
Hold on. They're doing two different things. You're saying they're using the CEO to piss us off. I don't think that. They're trying to get over the CEO chance. However, it is pissing us off, and I don't think that's heel heat. That's go-away heat, because I want the chanting of CEO to go away. It makes me...
Oh, that's what it means!
Yeah, it means I don't want her on my screen, because I have to see CEO, CEO. Regardless, Willa Nightingale with a big win, and that takes us... to another.
Speaking of go away heat.
Who is go away heat?
Wait, what's the next match?
Roddy and Kyle O'Reilly.
Oh, I thought it was the FTW championship.
We'll get there.
Sorry, I was trying to get to that match.
We'll get there. Listen. Roderick
I'm listening.
Strong, the storytelling behind Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly, a little weak going into it, but that makes it an AEW feud. It's all about, like...
No, you mean a dream match.
No, because they've wrestled many times before. It can't be a dream match if it's already happened.
Oh, sorry, I thought dream match just meant we're not going to throw a story at it.
What are you shaking your head at, Mr. Rizzo?
I'm just listening to the conversation. I'm just being an observant report.
Do you have to say anything, Mr. Rizzo?
I thought it was a great match with the heel hook, elbow off the ropes, the backbreakers, and Wardlow showing up.
What was Wardlow doing there? I hated how the announcers all like, oh, he affected the match. Like, did he? All he did was bark orders at him like, hey, get up. Stop doing that. Like, what a great help he was.
Just another piece on the chessboard. That's all.
I, I
just
do
existing.
I do wonder whether there was a timing issue. Maybe he got in there too late.
Yeah.
Because, like, the way he came into his... He was like, oh, he's walking into the ring to do
Oh, you made some good points, ref. I guess I just won't go in the ring then. Doop, doop, doop. I'm like, what
is that? He wasn't even a distraction at all.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, he didn't do anything.
Like, they didn't do anything while the ref was dealing with Wardlow. They weren't doing anything. And B, they didn't have him tied up that long.
I'm jumping into the Nation of Speculation with this one.
Oh my god.
The Nation.
Who's to retire the Tiger Driver 91?
No, I thought Wardlow being there is maybe him having second thoughts of his group. And I don't know. Maybe he didn't like how everything went down there. I didn't say it worked. I'm just saying that.
But why would he be mad at the Undisputed Kingdom because the ref didn't let him in the match to fuck with it? Like, well, that's not their fault.
Well, let's talk about some actual storytelling in AEW. Adam Cole gave us story time. Hold on. Adam Cole gave us some story time and said, Wardlow, I'm disappointed in you. You had one job and you fucked it up. Now you have to protect everybody. And I think they were kind of doing this and it just didn't work well because Wardlow went down there and wasn't that much of a factor. So after Roddy wins clean... And Adam Cole miraculously stands up.
Hey, not miraculously. I was like, that tracks. I'm walking around just great, too. I think Adam's ready to hit the ring soon.
So he comes down to the ring, and the nasty look he gives to Wardlow behind his back was very good. And I guess that's kind of what they were trying to do with Wardlow not doing much. But also, Wardlow could have had an effect and it not have seemed like enough. And Adam Cole could have still given him that look because it's their first time in the room together at the same time.
So I just thought, like I said before, he's there. We're leading to it. And I was wrong with the main event by who showed or didn't show up. I just think Wardlow and MJF is something that's going to happen with Cole. So we'll see. We'll see what we get. Well, that's down the road. Hopefully we get MJF coming back. Dynamite, they announced that Kenny's coming back next week in Dynamite. Yeah. Whether he's wrestling or just showing up and telling us. Because there's no way that dude's like going to be wrestling. He's probably going to be telling us that he's going away for a while. That's probably what he's going to do. But just the fact that he's there is good. And hopefully we get some more more pieces of the AEW chessboard playing. Thank you. That's what I was trying to do with the metaphor. But we're going to get to everyone's favorite match of the weekend, right? We got the culmination of Jericho finally winning the FTW championship.
I was wrong. I was wrong. This match was not great. It was a popcorn match. This is a popcorn match, that's for sure. I'll get it. I'll get it right.
We're working on it. We're doing new things.
It's a work in progress.
Popcorn matches. We got hot dog matches. We got Snickers
matches.
I've been led to believe that this might be a Snickers match because I've heard people, not us, say they loved this match.
Yeah, I'm on that side there, sir. I kind of really liked it and thought the crowd was crapping on it a little bit at the end when they knew it was happening. They just didn't want it.
I mean, that's fair. The crowd didn't want it, and I wasn't there for... I've heard said in other places, this diverting to this, you should have done it before you lost the crowd, but you've lost the crowd. So you've just lost the crowd. I'm not so worried about that. Here's my hot take. Hook isn't a good wrestler.
Ooh, okay. That is a hot take.
I thought, you know, a lot of people talk shit about the work rate of Chris Jericho in 2024. He's older. He's lost a step. That I can totally agree with. But usually in a lot of those matches, he might not look as good, but he still makes the other guy look great.
Wow. Like, you mean what he's saying is true?
Kind of.
Go on.
But
I'd say it's 50-50 with what he's done, but go on, RB.
Yeah.
It's just it's something that kind of hit me like during the promo in the Dynamite, the go home show, where it's the, you know, Taz gets beaten up by Jericho and Hook's just like, no, you hit my dad. I can't. He can't listen. He can't talk. He can't talk.
He can't.
Genuinely, and I say this as someone who doesn't have a hatred towards either company. Genuinely, I think the best place for him is NXT in the Performance Center, where there's promo school with promo guys and a wider array of people teaching him to wrestle.
Yeah, maybe he'll rub elbows with Dominic and he'll, you know, get him some lightning heat or something.
Can I push back on that and say, like, he can't get that almost done in the Nightmare Factory with Dustin?
No, he can't.
Okay. I'm just trying to put out where he could get it, but he's not going. Oh, all right. I got you.
It's that bad.
Genuinely, who would you rather have as your promo coach? Shawn Michaels or Dustin Runnels and QT Marshall?
I'm not the right person to ask because I kind of a fan of QT Marshall, but I look at it a different way. It's a tough decision. At least it was a while ago to think like, do I want to be out with AEW? That's going to give me a little bit more freedom on the main roster where I'm only going to be in NXT for a little while, but I might be able to make my name for myself to get bigger up on the roster. I think he's going to be okay either side. I understand what you're saying. I think the promo class in general is where he might be able, because his charisma of just like not talking or just being silent is what was working for him. But he's got to start. He's got to start saying some shit, and it's not going to work. So
The other thing is, I don't think his wrestling is very clean. I don't think he looks stiff. I think he is stiff, and
Hasn't he kind of wrestled like a boxer? Like, isn't that the style he's kind of tried to mimic in the ring, though?
To some extent, kind of like an MMA guy, kind of like his dad, but TBZ.
This is the second match of the pay-per-view that made me concerned for the wrestlers.
Oh, I think they did this on purpose.
Chris Jericho almost got suplexed on the edge of the steel steps. Like, his head would have gone through it.
2 inches away from having his skull split.
And let's show the replay! Why?
It was.
Why? Bad. Why are we, like, glorifying this? You should be like, didn't get all of it, let's fucking move on. No, let's really show how much he almost died here.
So,
that's exactly what you do. I mean, I don't know. If you're production... It'd be one thing if he actually hit himself on the ramp, and then you keep showing... If he actually hurt himself, I don't want to see that. But I want to see how close he might have got. Like, that's the whole point.
See, we're talking about I think you're both half right. I'm okay with showing the replay. I'm not happy with them selling the fact that, oh my god, he almost caved his head in. Like, it sounded like they're like, oh shit, that wasn't great. When they could have just sold, wow, he dropped him on his head outside.
Yeah.
Like, the way they sold it, draw attention to the fact that it was a dangerous move.
I'm not saying not to show the replay. Soup up my argument of being, like, the way they were selling it.
I understand that. I got that in the point.
Yeah. I think, to my point, it's not... Promo school is a big part of it. The biggest problem that they have with getting Hook the reps he needs... is that they've built such an awesome mystique around him.
Well, just to keep that going, that is, I thought, what kind of worked for me in the way the match, you know, played out. We got, I thought, more hatred for Jericho that you might have not had before. I mean, people weren't liking him anyway, but you got even more of a hate because of what he did to Hook. And I thought Hook kind of got a little bit more babyface because he just got beat up like that by someone you don't like. So we'll see where this goes. I still 100% agree about what we should maybe get with more of him on the mic. But if they're just going to have him not talk more and maybe just have someone else do it for him, that will work too. I don't know.
I just think that if he's repackaged in NXT, that means he gets to do NXT shows and NXT house shows and work the WWE house circuit, which is, and get actual reps in front of fans, which is, I think, what the problem is.
Well, I don't know how much you rebrand some, like, especially with what WWE's done over the last year or so. Everything that they've gotten from AEW, they've wanted what they've had from AEW. They haven't made changes. They've brought that person in with that. But it could be different with a young star. So I understand what you're saying.
Well, and the thing is, while Hook has this personality and has this aura, he can't keep wrestling and not be great. Like, they have to protect him to protect the aura. If he's not worried about that particular aura, he can work more and do more.
We're going a lot for him maybe losing, like, two matches. But TBZ, Why don't you end it?
This has nothing to do with him losing matches. I'm fine with him losing
matches. Oh, no. I know. I understand what you're saying. I wasn't trying to criticize that, but I meant, like, that's the character they built with him that he's only been put down twice. Like, that's all I was pointing out.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, there's no house circuit, and there's not, like, you don't have the opportunity. TBZ.
Last, what you got to end it before we move on to Thunder Rosa and Toni Storm?
So I'm on RB's side here. And not saying that Hook is a bad wrestler. It's that I think he's gotten stagnant and he needs to do more at this point. Because first of all, what to RB's point, he's not great on the mic. You know, he's very one note. He's very like, I get he's trying, again, that aura, like you said, he's trying to be stoic. I get that. But it's like, you know, look at Orange Cassidy. It's kind of a similar vibe where it's like, yeah, he doesn't say much, so he's got to do his wrestling and stuff like that. But everybody kept pushing him to evolve. But for some odd reason, it's okay for Hook to just do the same thing over and over again. For me, he's at that point now where it's like, you need to evolve, because this entire match was him suplexing. I get he's trying to be the, you know, Taz's son, but like, have another move, dude. The Usos had more moves than you in their match in WrestleMania, so.
So just to end it, is he going to get stuck in the learning tree or shot out of the Jericho vortex?
Shot out of the vortex.
The finish of the match was him taking a baseball bat upside the head. I think they're going to keep him off TV for a while, and hopefully he'll get some time to work at the factory.
Yeah, I also hate Jericho's new moniker.
Yeah, the learning tree with Big Bill is going to be interesting.
Interesting, so, yeah.
We'll see.
I'm kind of excited about that, because I feel like Big Bill's just going to use the shit out of
you. Yeah, because Big Bill's got this smirk on his face like, yeah, let's learn from you. Sure. Let's do it.
I heard a pitch that the story of the learning tree should be Chris Jericho thinks he's super helpful and keeps approaching people and they keep turning him down. And I think that would be very entertaining.
That's funny. Yeah. Here's hoping.
Yeah, anyway. You really want to bring him down. Just start with the members of the Dark Order and they all say, nah, we're good.
You know, this next match is just reminding me how two of my favorite ladies went and changed their damn song. And I'm like, why? Why did you fucking do that? I liked the old song.
Yeah, I think Tony's works, but you're right. I missed the Thunder Rosa.
I was like, let's go. Thunder Rosa's here. Yeah.
I did have it right. She didn't have any face paint on this time. And that was because Tony was messing with her of like, you need to wear this mask. And she's like, I don't need the mask. I'm going to beat your ass. This is going to be great.
Which I liked. Like, that was cool story. You know, it, like, for them to alter their costume.
Yeah, highlights that I thought this were the beats to the chest. Mariah May and Luther versus Deanna was just kind of fun. I really liked the 50-50 crowd and the fact that that Thunder Rosa at one point just yelled, "Tony, just die!" Like, so I just thought that was pretty cool.
I do have to put over, there is nothing, and I mean nothing, I enjoy more in AEW than Luther getting rocked by a woman. I love it when Thunder takes him down. I love it when Deonna Purrazzo takes him down. All I want in the world is for female wrestlers to murder Luther over and over again.
I'll say this as I kind of like it because it's an evolution, but she just, like, her cost, costume or her getup, her ring gear for Tony in this match was a little haunting, for lack of a better word. Like, it looks like she was kind of disheveled a little bit, or it just, the way it was set up to me just kind of, I was like, and I get, like, to me, I'm like, I get that's what you're going for. That's just how it reacted to me. And I was like, weird. Like, I don't know. I'm wondering if we're watching, like, Tony unravel, and that was kind of, like, symbolism for that.
Yeah, well, that's how she does she doesn't clean herself up when she does her, the media scrum. So she does have that vibe of just like, yeah, I really got the shit kicked out of me, even though I'm the best. And this is how I look.
And even though I'm supposed to be pretty and then, you know, pristine, I can still be gritty and ugly.
She's a hot mess. Yeah. Like
that's like, it.
When she's not in the ring and she's not controlling the situation by reading a statement, by pontificating, she's a hot mess. And that's how the character started. You know, she was betrayed by Saraya, you know, and got her title taken away. Now she's the champion again. She has done it by being absolutely timeless.
And I like how they are doing the editing on the color schemes. Like, how they kind of like blend it, where it's like, hey, it's Tony's entrance, and as that's fading, we just fade the color back in. Like, they're getting better at it, and I like how they do it.
I think they're getting better at it. I wonder how long I'm going to be like, this is cool. Like,
I guess that's why, because I was already at that point where I'm like, yeah, fine, whatever. But like this for this match, I was like, oh, that was neat. Like, it was refreshing.
Yeah. You know, eventually you get really tired of Johnny Mundo / Johnny Impact / Johnny Nitro / Johnny
this, Johnny TV.
Johnny TV. Johnny.
/ Johnny Creator. What else?
But hit the slow motion thing. Eventually I'm just like, okay, dude.
Well, it's great with Pretty Deadly. I don't understand you guys. Just you're fickle. Fickle.
Fickle. I like a thing, then I'm sick of it, and I no longer like it.
Isn't that the death? Never mind. Anyway,
people would be going back.
Are we done with this match? Because it sounds like you're doing a transition into the next match.
We should do the transition. I was just going to point out how awesome it was that Thunder Rosa talks in the ring when she was wrestling. But let's go to Brian Danielson and Will Ospreay.
Okay.
I want to start by saying every time.
This was the third match that made me very concerned for a superstar.
Is it the end?
Yeah. Go on, Brian.
So,
RB.
Okay. Every time I watch a major Will Ospreay match, I decide, okay, now this is my favorite match I've ever watched. Every single time it honks hard. However, this is an absolute dream match. Fuck you. I don't need that.
Is it funny that I, for a half second when he was doing it, I was like, is he going to say banger? Like, I don't know why.
This is going to honk.
An absolute honker.
At least four honks.
Dear Justin Roberts, please do that for the next dream match. We will pay.
So
I'll pay.
I have talked in the past about how I hate everything being a dream match and not having a story. And then, you know, I'm fine with it. And Mr. Rizzo, you've said it before. I don't need a story for ZSJ versus Brian Danielson. I don't need a story for this. I do need, and I thought there was enough story for this. I do need them not to be like, oh, Shibata versus so-and-so, what an absolute dream match, which they said about Danielson and Ospreay leading up to this match. If they're all dream matches, none of them are dream matches.
Why? We're talking about one or two people. They're dream matches for that particular person.
So is it a dream series then?
Jun Akiyama versus Daniel Bryan, dream match. Minoru Suzuki against Adam Copeland,
dream match. Yeet.
I'm not really.
Come on, keep going. I'll get the yeets going.
Am I supposed to be disagreeing or like agree? Like, yes. I don't know if they do it again. You're like, well, this isn't really a dream match anymore. They did it already. Like,
I understand. RB is that's like someone saying everyone's their best friend. Best friend means there's one. You're my best friend. That's it. You don't get, like, the world's your best friend.
Well, so the definition of a dream match is each wrestler can only have one dream match.
It's one of none, baby.
This is the heat. It's the heatless honker thing. It's super cool that Bryan Danielson had a match with Jun Akiyama, a match that, for two technical wrestling legends, this could be considered to be a dream match.
I think you're just upset about writers and using descriptions for the actual matches. Because who gives a shit? It's a way to describe how it's the first time ever that they're touching gloves or they're finally wrestling each other when they're really cool wrestlers that you always thought that they could never wrestle
before. You don't have to use the same word for all of them.
Mr. Rizzo. You can only touch gloves the first time once, my guy. So yeah, there can only be one dream match then.
And I hate
there's all these dream matches where the result is absolutely 100% a given before the match happens. Danielson wasn't going to lose to Shibata, neither was Ospreay, and that's fine. You could lose to a guy who's just better than you.
I thought Danielson might take it with the psycho knee. I was thinking, then they're going to swerve me. Yeah. And now you're sticking up your finger like, you know what? That might be true. So you didn't have a 100% belief.
Hold on. I'm not talking about this match that I already told you is my favorite match I've ever seen. I'm talking about, Copeland versus Suzuki. I wonder who's going to win.
Dream match.
Danielson versus Akiyama. Dream match. Who's going to win?
Dream match.
Danielson versus Shibata in the build-up. Danielson versus Ospreay.
Match.
Danielson versus Ospreay in the build-up to Danielson.
Dream match.
I want more. It's, you know what? Maybe this is it. Maybe I'm a WWE stooge. But I want, you know what I want? I want week-to-week storytelling. I want it to matter that Chad Gable was trying to win the Intercontinental Championship.
It's about the story, you Neanderthal!
He's gonna puke! Listen.
I'm kind of intrigued about the story they're telling with the injury angle on the end. And him retiring the move of not using the Tiger Driver 91 ever again. And then him.
That's an excellent story!
Yeah, and that came out of a dream match. Isn't that awesome?
I don't like the injury angle, though. I will say that. I don't need that out of my wrestling. It's too real. Wrestling for me is theater of the mind. I use that to escape reality, not to re-enter more realistic situations.
But now he's tormented with the fact that he shouldn't use the move ever again. He had second thoughts using it against Kyle.
I understand. Here's my problem now. So Danielson's done, right? He's never wrestling again? Because for me, if what I saw at the end of that match, he is done. He should not westle ever again.
Why?
He is injured.
What is he injured with? What did he get? What happened?
The dude like had a seizure again at the end of a match.
He was dehydrated. I don't know what you're saying. I didn't hear anyone say that he had a concussion or he broke his neck and he was out 8 months. Like
the way he was clutching his neck and saying fuck. Kind of indicated it was a serious injury, and that's what it made me feel like, and that's, again, what I don't need in my wrestling. I don't need three matches now in this fucking pay-per-view to make me feel this way.
Okay, you're not going to like it, but this is how we're doing it, okay? This is how I think they're working us with Bryan Danielson.
I know!
They have to do that he's beat down and frail, and he can't do anything and win the big one. So he can finally win the title as someone who can't overcome. I'm not sure who it would be at Wembley, Would it be him eventually? Then, no, who am I, you help me out with this, RB. Where is it going to with him being?
It's going to Brittle Danielson having to overcome the man who's been screaming about how injury prone he is, Nigel McGuinness.
There you go. So it's they're working us with every little every time they go out there, they gotta
and knock and I can't effect. Wait. And I can't wait to think that entire match, is this it? Is this the one I'm gonna watch someone die on live, like on a live feed right now?
But you can do that with every single match, dude. Look what happened with
no, Hangman. No, that's not true.
Look what happened with Hangman.
What?
Hangman took a move from Moxley a month ago or a year ago that was just a regular move that we get people do all the time. And he was paralyzed for a few seconds, and they took the bottom rope off, and they brought him out, and we didn't see him wrestle forever. That's the business, dude. Like,
they didn't glorify that injury. They, like, kind of went hush-hush about it, and they're like, oh, we got to get this off of TV.
It wasn't planned. That wasn't planned to do the injury.
I understand.
All I'm saying is I don't need two-thirds of your pay-per-view having these injuries that are making me be like, oh, God, this person might die in this match right now. That's all I'm saying. It's not my kind of wrestling.
To be fair, I think that selling his neck looks worse because of what Bryan Danielson sold later. But selling a sore neck is a thing that happens in a lot of wrestling matches because there are backbreakers and neck breakers. The hook thing was a bad positioning that almost led to a terrible botch. This specifically is telling two stories to me. One, that Will Ospreay is too much of a good guy for the Don Callis family. And Bryan Danielson is on the last run of his career, and he's, you know, he had a broken arm last year. He had a broken orbital bone. He is selling that this last full-time year for him is going to be tough, and that is going to build to the Wembley match with McGuinness. And I understand especially when they are using the doctors, I'm not super fond of using the doctors in that way. However, after when they showed the replay the way that they did, I knew then that it wasn't real because they were highlighting it in a way that was intentional. And I watched it again. I watched Denise Salcedo had her clip from the crowd where you could see exactly how defiantly Will Ospreay was not watching what was happening to sell this stuff. So I get what you're saying. I just kind of just.
I want to stick up for TBZ. Out of the three of us, he most recently broke a bone. So he's going to be a little more sensitive on any injuries that happen live or injury angles. Because I know you don't want to relive anything that has to do with that ever again. So I completely understand your hesitation of, like, just not liking injury angles at all when it has to do with, like, you don't like it when Rey Mysterio loses an eye. You don't like it when Cesaro puts his teeth into his skull.
Rey Mysterio one was just dumb because he just regrew his eye. It just is back now, and we're not going to talk about it like it was a harrowing experience.
Cesaro one of the greats was not do a storyline.
I know. I threw that in there because of how disgusting it was for TBZ. I was just adding to the fact he doesn't like injuries at all. Yeah. It's consistent. He is consistent, and I will just agree with that, so I understand.
My shoulders are over my head thinking about Cesaro's teeth right now.
Duh, God, I forgot about that, actually.
All right. Let's keep it moving. That was a lot of fun that we got to the end of that, but let's keep it going with the Bucks and FTR.
We got sidetracked. We didn't really talk about the match. I do have to say,
it was a honker. Go watch this match.
If I'm going to say one thing about the match that I had never heard before, I've never heard the 50-50 yes, no chant.
Yeah, that was interesting. And that was pretty cool.
Because usually the whole crowd is just yes! And then there's that one lone guy in the corner going, no! But it was a 50-50 crowd. It was really cool. It worked. But yeah, let's keep it going with Bucks and FTR.
It was Honker. Go watch
it. The only thing I do want to highlight the finish of the match before the injury angle, where Danielson is in the corner setting up for the Bisyko knee, and instead of just like sitting there to take it, Ospreay gets back into the corner and regains himself, and they have that samurai stare at each other across, and then they go for the knee and the hidden blade at the same time.
So cool.
So cool. Very awesome.
Great match.
Four home.
Weird angle. We're weird finish, but, you know, that's wrestling for you.
All right, so we're going to talk about the Young Bucks with their great vests and FTR with their cool entrance music for me. That's my thing. I really like the match, and I want to say this about Dex, and I want to make sure that I'm clear about how I'm saying this.
This poor man.
I want this guy to retire, but not because he shouldn't wrestle, because the dude's amazing. I want to see him wrestle more. But he has put his body on the line so much for this company. I just want them to give him a lot of money so he can stay home and drink and watch wrestling. Like, not, I don't want him to not wrestle because he can't wrestle. He's awesome. I love him. I want to see more. But dude's done enough. Just let him retire. Let him just stay home and chill with his daughter. That's all I'm saying. Because that's all.
I don't know. The bullet. The Darby Allin like bullet of cash going through
I thought he hurt himself. I definitely thought he hurt his neck. Definitely thought
he didn't learn his lesson when he lost with that 450 splash attempt. Jeez Louise.
I thought that like three times during this match is just like, no flips, just fists. You should learn.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this match was really good.
It was a good match, yeah.
There are very few things that are as dependable as the Young Bucks in a ladder match. If the Young Bucks are in a ladder match, it's great. I know some people beforehand were like, well, it'd be great to have them have a good wrestling match because they also have that gear. And FTR, like the first FTR Bucks match was just a regular wrestling match. And it was probably still the best match they've had.
What about Wembley?
They were distracted with what happened in the back.
They didn't get to pray. They had to put their AVP hats on.
It was still a standard match, man. I'm telling you. That's why it's not the best.
I want to ask if you can remember this without looking this up. At Wembley, did they have the second last match of the night? Just like this one?
No.
I thought they were the first.
The reason I asked is because they were
the third match, and they were not as EVPs, just as wrestlers being wrestlers. They were preparing to have to go on first because, like, outside of kayfabe, because they didn't know if Punk was going to.
Gotcha. Well, I was really bringing it up is that Kazim from the Ringer podcast talked about how the Bucks like to be what be called like the dead spot or the dead match, which is the match after Danielson, you know, like the lull before the main event, where like the crowd has just been as hot as it's possible. You're not really going to be able to stack up to that. And they always deliver. They never really just like, well, this is boring. They don't make you forget about the match before, but it's memorable. Like it was awesome with everything with the match. And then, We got another storyline angle with this particular match as well.
They have the ability to take a crowd that may be dead, and by dead I mean tired, not bad.
I know what you mean. Yep.
And get them back into the action without
popping them.
Well, they'll pop them, but not so hard that the next match
it recharges them. It doesn't.
Yeah.
Like,
They give the crowd their spoons back.
Yeah.
Yes. Good call.
And then the.
But
finish.
Yeah, it was three honks for me. But yeah, so I don't know. Someone didn't like the finish. Someone didn't like who showed up.
I do not care for the drama behind this reveal we're about to talk about. Yes.
that, listen, you've just got a scapegoat that you're dealing with. You don't like, you're just blaming, you're blaming Jack Perry for everything. You know what? You're proving him right. He's a scapegoat.
I'm not. I'm judging him based on his past performance that I've seen him in AEW. He's very mid at best.
Oh, dude, no. Like,
what? What?
Like him versus Adam Cole when he was still aligned with Christian. I thought him as a I think there's some revisionist history. I think that Jungle Boy Jack Perry.
I'm not saying he's a bad wrestler. I just don't care for him. Like, he's not great on the mic. He's a great wrestler, sure, but it's like you need to touch up. You need to go to promo school, my man.
That, I mean, that's fine.
So that's it. Plus the whole like Punk thing. Yeah, I'm a little heated because it's like the interview is like, God damn it, this is bringing this shit back up, and now we're just gonna have to relive this and remember this. No, I don't fucking care anymore. Let's move on. Let's move past that. And it just feels like him coming back is trying to just build off of what happened. And I'm like,
hold on. You can't. Okay. If he's back, you have to build off of it because it's not going to go away.
So let's move past that. He's back. Now we can drop that.
How do you work that? What do you do? Give me an idea of how you'd bring back Jack Perry at all without it having anything to do with CM Punk. Go ahead. Unless you're going to make him be Jungle Boy again. What are you going to do?
I'm not. All I was saying that we should move past. This is a transitional state. Sure, you use that to get him back. Now what are you going to do? I fear just going to keep leaning on that one trick pony. And I'm like, you got to evolve, dude.
He's with the Elite, and he did evolve.
Go ahead. Come on. CM Punk. He hasn't had time to evolve yet. He's not. Don't give me that bullshit, Mr. Rizzo.
How many CM Punk chants did you hear on Dynamite?
None,
because he's gotten past it. Now he's just an asshole. He got reinstated, and he murdered Tony Khan.
Yeah, what did he do at the end of the show? What did he do at the end of Dynamite?
We all got to see Shad Khan's beautiful mustache. Fucking
Tony Khan. Why is he even on the TV right now?
Oh my god, TVC is so mad about this angle.
So that we can get the EVPs over as bad guys.
Oh my god.
Jack Perry's going to join the Elite. He took over a spot of Tony Khan
to play the victim. Oh, look at me. I'm just trying to be the good guy giving you great wrestling and my superstars beat me up.
That's been consistent with Tony Khan.
I'm forward for my life. Then stop going out there. Don't go on TV.
The Young Bucks are EVPs, not just behind the scenes, but in kayfabe. Uh-huh. That's their characters, is that they are asshole bosses.
Yeah.
In kayfabe, as is in reality, Tony Khan is the boss, and he's the one who books all the matches. Uh-huh. By bringing him out and taking him out, now the EVPs are the ones booking all of the matches.
Kayfabe.
In kayfabe.
You could just do that. Like, you don't have to do it this way. No,
you have to take out the guy who's actually in charge in kayfabe. I understand not liking it.
I'm so mad at this story.
All this much ado about getting too heated up about this match before we get into the main event of the evening. Swerve Strickland challenging a Samoan named Joe for the AEW World.
Props to the boys in this one. I wasn't scared for anybody during this match. I was never like, oh my god, that injury might actually be real. It's not like, you know, trying to sell me on it or something. Weird. I didn't know they had it in them to have an AEW championship match where I wouldn't feel that way.
I didn't think you felt that way during the tag match that we were just talking about.
I mean, Dax was bleeding. Yeah. There's a bunch of chair shots. Was it Dax or Cash who got the nut shot? There was a lot of, you know.
That's fair.
Who was it? Somebody on WWE, probably Corey Graves or something like that, says like, you know, the furniture doesn't always cooperate or something like that. So, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I knew what I was getting into with this match. You know, I was like, it's a fucking ladder match. Of course, there's going to be weird spots where you're like, oh, that's going to be bad. Anyway, this championship match we're talking about between Swerve and Joe, very heated, yet didn't get too guttural like it was a Texas death match or anything, which was kind of shocking, given like how Swerve has been booked. Like, he's this kind of ultra-violent guy harassing Joe.
I don't know that... I think that Swerve is willing to go to any length he needs to win the match. I think that there is a different story with Swerve and Hangman specifically, that they want to destroy each other's lives. Like, I think that that's where the tension is. And, like, Swerve signing the contract with the blood from his head was because he got his head cracked open by Joe. Like, he, like, his big spot in the go-away match, it was the Swerve stomp to 8 guys in a superhero landing, which we talked about at length last week. So there was talk that there was kind of a botch at the end, that the him going over the top was supposed to be something different. And so the end, it was a little bit clunky, but we got the ending that we wanted, which was that the Swerve, the hottest babyface, is your first African-American AEW world heavyweight champ. Sorry, world champion, not world heavyweight.
Nope, just the world champion. Yeah, his entrance was pretty sweet coming out as Black Panther. That was pretty toy.
Yeah, he had a Black Panther outfit that was pretty cool. And then when he got on the ramp and the angle they shot, I said, he's got a bulge like Finn.
Also, Prince Nana was really feeling himself almost a little too much. He kind of like kept bumping into Swerve while he was doing his cool guy walk. And I'm like, Nana, take a few steps back, my man. You are not the centerpiece to this match right now.
Nana.
And then I had a small issue with the rest of this match pretty much after I saw the bulge. And that was the
mushrooms. You're starting to feel a certain way during this match.
I was, and it was the mushrooms were kicking in, because right after this was a 3-hour Fish concert. And I had notes all the way up until the match had started, and I wrote Black Panther, bulge like Finn.
So you don't.
And then I saw the match. It was great. It ended, and I was like, I don't want to hear how the Excalibur anymore. I'm going to go listen.
Okay. So you don't have a problem with this match. You had a problem during this
match. Correct. Yes. The match was three honks. I loved everything about it. Excalibur was weirding me out with a little bit of his post-conference, and I didn't know if that was me, so I turned it off.
Mr. Like Rizzo during this match.
Uh-oh.
I timed it perfect. I mean, because the concert was in Las Vegas, I had 3 hours. It was good. But just,
I was a little shocked. I couldn't
take the notes anymore. That's all I was saying.
I was a little shocked Swerve won this match, not going to lie. But
I had talked myself, after our discussion, I had talked myself into thinking that they were going to have Hangman interfere and that Joe was going to escape with the title.
Fair.
I'm very happy that by the time that the match went on and with Swerve's entrance, I was like, oh no, Swerve's winning tonight.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really cool. I thought
Nana's dance down, by the way.
Whose house? I felt like Swerve. He did that a bit too much during the match. I was like, all right, Prince Nana, we've heard it for 10 minutes straight now.
Well, I think he knew it was happening that day, so he was just keeping the crowd on their toes.
Whose house?
I mean, he did the same thing through the entire match on Dynamite 2, which I had problems with. But, you know, he's got his, you know, he's got the, his
few
new,
less. That's all I'm asking. Just reel it in a few.
He's got his new kicks.
Yeah. Hey, he's on top of the world now.
Those are hot.
Riding the coattails of Swerve Strickland. What?
Tony won't be able to wrestle in the wrestling shoes now that he's got a broken neck.
Oh yeah, and I'm really hoping that we get to see Tony Khan sometime over the weekend during the NFL draft with the neck brace.
I saw a picture of him.
It was, I don't think that's a real picture. I thought edited.
I believe I got told that I've been worked by that.
But hey, I got so excited. I'm like, please tell me he's doing an interview with a freaking neck brace.
But there are reports that backstage after the show on Wednesday, he was fully closed door meetings with talent.
Yes.
Fully selling it with the neck brace on.
Yeah, because Trent and Chucky T have a parking lot brawl on Collision, and they already filmed it.
And I agree with Chucky T. I always thought Trent was an asshole.
Just because I recently watched the clip of Will Ospreay on RJ City's Hey EW, I found out that his mom is also named Sue. So I hope maybe sometime we can get a Sue off, and we can have Ospreay versus Trent, and maybe have the ladies in their corner. That'd be kind of fun.
Oh, is that what this heel turn's all about? To just fight Will Ospreay? Okay, all right.
Ospreay.
that's his. What's the shit that Brandon Cutler used to spray? It'd be Will Ospreay.
Oh, cool spray.
It'll be Ospreay's version of the cool spray.
How have we not gotten a Cutler with the Bucks yet? Like, he's got to be a player with them eventually, right? And
is he even with AEW anymore? Like, what the fuck?
So he has been. I haven't looked at it recently, but he has been like doing like the dirt sheet reporting as though he's like Meltzer.
That's funny.
He's leaking inside information from the Bucks.
That's great.
I saw it more in the lead up to the Sting match. I haven't heard about it since then, but that doesn't mean it hasn't.
I just want to see him as a character with the Bucks somehow, but I don't know how it would work. I mean,
he's not cool enough to be next to Kazuchika Okada.
He's right, but I mean, they could just order him around.
He could come back as the Stooge and be like, hey, I want to rub elbows with fucking Okada and shit. Come on, man.
If anything, they got to have him like getting their suits and their vests from the laundromat, the press, and bring in his laundry. Like, they should at least have him doing
something. He's trying to get in a tag match with Okada. He's like, yo, well, let's do a tag match.
That's good. Listen,
I like this in theory.
But no, it's not going to work.
But I don't want it. It doesn't work.
Not right now. Because they're at the top.
That's beneath Okada, all right? Yeah, that's beneath Okada.
Yeah, that's when Okada leaves the Elite, and they're looking for other stuff. You're right. That's what that is. Anyway.
Maybe when he starts his own YouTube channel that's like being the Elite, but as a kayfabe dirt sheet reporter, like maybe that could be like a thing. Like, you know, he's inside, but he's getting just as badly disrespected as what's his name? The Alex
Marvez.
Marvez.
Yeah, Alex the way that guys, you gotta give me the soup. Okada-san, what's the scoop?
I like it. It's so dorky. It works.
Yeah. So yeah, that was Dynasty.
That was awesome. Didn't have anything like really amazing or really cool angles. I mean, Tony Storm.
Well, the retirement of Tiger Driver 91, right? Did that happen in the post scrum?
It did.
Yes. Okay, you're right. That was kind of big news and story.
They also definitely had someone planted to ask Tony Storm about Mariah May being ranked third in the women's division and what happens, which was what she stormed off about.
Nice. Yeah, I don't know if it was. I mean, it could have been. I don't know, because it would have worked if she just would have stormed off with the next question.
It's happening. Literally, it's the story, man. She's going to take the belt off her.
She literally did like the speech of like, if I have to answer a question for you guys, if anyone's going to ask a question, you're an idiot. But it's still, I understand what you're saying. It's kind of working. Yeah. But what was it that I was going to mention it during the match. I am very disappointed that Tony Khan broke the news that at Double or Nothing, we're not going to get Toni Storm versus Wendi Richter. Like, he said, sorry, I don't think it's going to work.
Really breaking a whole lot of news.
No, but it was just, it's funny. She's been saying this, like, where the hell, and when am I going to get my match with Wendi Richter? And some reporter actually asked her, and he's like, Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
Wendy Richter is 100.
Yes, yes, yes. So that was great pay-per-view. I hope we got more storylines to build up. Yeah, we did mention how Jack Perry hit Tony Khan, and we got Shad Khan looking at him all over him with the cool mustache. That's what you wanted. That's the shot we wanted at the end.
Shad Khan coming out like a guy who's seen his son get beaten up before. And also is immediately the coolest guy in every room he walks into. He dresses better. He's got the cool mustache. It's perfect.
Yeah, for how much money that guy has, it's really difficult not to be, like, the coolest guy in the room.
Genuinely, there was... When they came out to stop Jack Perry, and Matt Jackson goes, "You can't! He's a billionaire!" So good. Also tonight... earlier in the night, we had Willow getting cut off by the CEO again. We had Swerve just wrestling a match with Kyle Fletcher as an eliminator, which was a great match and told the story about what Don Callis does for all of his people. But also, I didn't like Swerve felt like the least important thing on the show, kind of.
Yeah, it's supposed to make him more of a prominent thing with him on Collision and getting an interview. But
that's the problem with all the belts and dream matches you have. You get your champions kind of just drowned out by all this awesomeness.
Well, it doesn't help that you have a championship match for a different company on the card.
Yep,
which too. Which there has been tell that kind of. The way that sort of ended a little abruptly, that Powerhouse Hobbs may have been banged up there, but they cut around it. Yeah, I thought, I can't wait for that Trent match. I can't wait for...
Everything with the ladies is working. You know, all of them.
Well, I think it's time, boys. We've talked enough AEW. It's time to switch gears. Bring it down a bit. You know? Kind of appreciate life a bit more.
Maybe going to talk about the new women's champion.
Talk about being immortal. The Bray Wyatt story, the documentary we all covered this past week.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. We did get through it. As much as I did like it, I was slightly disappointed that I didn't get more of his backstory and some of his stuff before a lot of the stuff at WWE. Like, I just got very little bit of his childhood and then, you know, FCW. Like, I'm happy to get all the info and I liked all of it. And I didn't say I didn't know everything, but I thought I was going to get maybe a little bit more of him as a younger guy. And maybe some more of some stuff as creatively, but what say you guys?
I think that's tough. His story is so similar to Roman Reigns' story. That the first aspect of it, there are a lot of stories that are just like that, you know, guys who are, you know, they're related to the business and they're great athletes. And that I felt like we got enough of that story because it's kind of like it's Cody's story. It's Roman's story. It's a lot of these guys.
Insert superstars backstory, you know,
but I had a lot of trouble getting through this.
It got a lot more real for me at the end of the match because of my own heart issues and stuff that I ended up watching with my mom.
The match?
Yeah. Did I say match?
You did. Yeah, you did. I get you.
I meant the end of the documentary.
Yeah. No, okay. Just making sure.
But I
want to be picking up what you're putting down.
At the same time, and again, I feel like I'm complaining about this documentary, and I don't mean it to be.
It really does feel like you're complaining about it.
I was disappointed that a few of the things that they talked about, they didn't show us real versions of. They just talked about it. And
what do you mean?
They didn't actually show us the first time that Bray entrance with the Fiend. Or they didn't show the actual entrance a little bit for Bray Howdy or for Uncle Howdy, or maybe even a little of the stuff with the White Rabbit. Like, they just talked about the development of it as opposed to, like, you experiencing it again and kind of getting those goosebumps when you watch it for the first time. It just made me go back and watch them as opposed to experience them during the documentary.
That's what they wanted you to do. Yeah, they don't want you watching the documentary. They want you watching the damn thing.
I'm the guy who knows that. And I was trying to tell my mother, who watched the documentary with me, I'm like, they didn't do it justice with what they were describing. My mom wouldn't know to go back and watch those and see how cool they were. But
excuse me, sir, you need to do your homework, all right?
Hey, I watched this John Cena match with her for WrestleMania afterwards, but I wasn't going to show her any other parts of it, of like, hey, his first time entrance with the lantern gave me goosebumps, or this, that's all.
I think it's tough. So as someone who went to film school, like, that's a tight 2 hours. Like, if you had pushed it to be much longer,
you'd have to do it in parts.
There's also, you know, how are you going to, if you're just like rehashing the stuff completely, you're not telling his story, you're revisiting those moments. Whereas this gives you the opportunity to show your mom that match, or like, I thought, my only problem with the documentary is I didn't love Taker's narration.
No, I don't like his voice.
It's not so much I like his voice is fine. I just didn't like he just didn't feel that connected to the story.
Yeah, he felt very robotic. It was just like you're lifeless in every aspect of your life right now.
I got the same vibe out of that from Taker. It was just kind of like, I'm reading these.
He might have been the best guy to do it because his emotional connection wasn't going to like make it that hard for him, but TBZ.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to bring up how I kind of wished when he was talking about his match with him, he would have referred to himself, be like, hey, that's me, you know? Be like, when he had his match against me. But no, he was like a narrator talking about himself.
Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of the catch-22 of it all.
Yeah. Which is why, like, maybe you shouldn't have picked Undertaker for this.
So, TBZ, how much new information did you get out of the documentary with maybe not knowing much about his NXT or FCW stuff?
This documentary basically taught me that I got in as the party was ending on Bray Wyatt. And so that kind of makes me mad, because that's what I hate about most of this, is that I was like, man, I just wanted more Bray Wyatt. Like, I feel like that man had way more gas in the tank, and I was ready to eat up anything he threw at me. And I was just like, and you take that away from me? Come on, man. It was just like he had a very long career before he came up to where I started watching him. And again, I was like, oh, it makes sense now why John Cena was that guy to have that match with him. It didn't seem so disconnected like when I first saw it.
When the two things that really kind of, I wouldn't say wowed me, but I was the caught me the most was his inspiration from Waylon Mercy. And when they first showed him and I saw, I went, the shirt! Like, it was just instant. I was like, well, okay, I see where he's getting from. And then the fact that the Taylor mentioned how they had a friend whose name was Bray White, who was like this really crazy guy. He's like, he's actually that crazy. His face was like numb from doing like smashing his. He had some accident. And
he was in a car accident that left him his
brain nerves damage.
But it was paralyzed. He couldn't feel it, so he would headbutt people all the time.
He just headbutt people because he could.
Because he couldn't feel it. And I'm just like, yeah, that's exactly where Bray got all of his inspiration for this. And that was cool, Blair. That was
Bray, right?
Bray White is the, that was kind of funny.
So, that was neat. That was just, you know, I think Bray Wyatt had ADHD. I'm just going to say it. From the way they were describing dealing with him, I was like, yeah, that sounds like somebody who's just got a million ideas and not enough attention or focus to stick to one thing.
The fact that when he left, or when he got fired or left WWE, and he really poured himself into the creative painting. Definitely, yeah, I would say that tracks. You know, that works. But yeah, we don't need to.
You know what it was? It was when they said that it was like a tornado of ideas. I was like, ooh, okay, I can see now, like why it was hard for him to get his story out. You know, I always thought it was always just WWE stifling him, but you know, goes to show it's not just, you know, that Bray was guiltless in all of this.
Well, it was just kind of weird. I mean, the pandemic probably added a lot of the stress that caused other things to go in his life. But the fact that we went from not being able to experience anything with a crowd, and then, like you said, him having so many ideas, and then also kind of giving him a green light with that, because that was the only way that they can create anything for a time. And he went too far into that, where, like, I don't know, he let him somewhere else. That's all I'm saying. Like, too much of the outlet maybe made him do other stuff. I don't know. I'm kind of rambling here for a minute. I don't know, I'm not sure what I'm saying.
No, you're good. I did like to kind of get that, you know, reveal the curtain and kind of see how they how everything came together, especially with the kind of person that Bray was. You know, I always love seeing how people of that creativity, you know, work. You know, like how they, what makes them tick, if you will.
And it's usually a group. It's usually a pair. It's usually a friend that he's working with, and they're bouncing ideas off each other, and then he can create something really cool. So it was cool to see his relationship with, oh my God, I'm going blank. What was the gentleman's name that was for the artist? That was Mark? His friend.
Mike or Mark.
And then also his brother, Taylor, because they also did that, or Bo Dallas, as you might know him.
So I broke down once during this, and it was actually during Bo's line when he was talking about when he heard the news and, you know, describing the scene and how time slowed down. And he was saying how he felt that in that moment, Bray was, you know, he felt his presence, which made him say, I need to be strong for everybody right now. And I was just like, I guess for me, I feel like I have to be that in my circle. So I'm just kind of like, you know, that really struck me. And I was like, yeah, I feel like that's what I would be doing in that situation. And, you know, got choked up.
So I'm going to try to, because I usually deal with a lot of this stuff with comedy, and I'm going to keep it real because I have heart issues. I have an open heart surgery a couple times. I'm going to take medicine forever, and I'm all worried about what may or may not happen with potential pacemakers or other things that I may have to do. But I really like the Young Bucks vest that they wrestled in, and the fact that I hear about a vest that Bray Wyatt had to wear that may have worked as like a defibrillator or something like that. I said to my mom while I was watching, I'm like, I like vests. I'm going to wear the vest. Like, that's what I was telling her. I was like, trying to put her at ease. I was like, I won't not wear the vest. Like, I like vests. That just hurt me the most, because knowing that he just kind of went down for a nap. And I don't know if he would have worn, if he was wearing the mat, if he was wearing the vest, if that would have changed anything. But to think of it something as simple as that for someone that was only 36 years old, it was really rough. And I know it was tough to finish once you get to that point. Especially for Bo or Taylor, because he had been gone out of the limelight for the actual wrestling. I mean, he did a little bit there with Uncle Howdy, but he was finally making his comeback to wrestle and be on the stage with his brother. And it's just, it's really disappointing that, like, that has to be taken away from him. And hopefully he can still do some stuff and do that for his brother. But, yeah.
You talking about Tyler was reminding me, I kind of had to laugh at my laugh while watching this, because they were talking about how, oh, well, you know, Bray had to kind of like take her easy or whatever. You know, his brother was finding success in the WWE, and they show him on the B team. And I'm like, I don't know if I consider that success. I mean, he was on the B team after all.
They showed him with the champion belts around him.
I know. Well, we all know the tag division is a joke to WWE. So once again, well, congratulations. You're the king of the mid card. What?
B-Team was one of your favorites.
I
I loved the B team. I also accept the fact that the B team only plateaus, okay? It only gets you so far. It's just the way he was talking to me, it sounded like, oh, you know, he grabbed the gold and got the championship. And it's like he was on the B team guy, all right?
Well,
he
you have to understand.
A singles championship, all right?
You do realize where he was at NXT, correct?
What do you mean where he was?
He was the champ and Bo Dallas as Bo Leave. He was the top of the card. He came in as the number one guy in NXT. And
yeah, they didn't say that, though.
But that's part of us knowing that he had success with the company.
Okay, I'm just talking about this thing that I watched and the thing I reacted to. I don't know why we're bringing this other shit in. How are they going to cram that in that segment then? Please tell me.
I just meant it's agreeing with they showed him on the highest thing that he did in the main roster would be
let's get to the B team. Congratulations.
Having the tag championships. So that's what they showed. But him on the NXT with the NXT championship would look just as cool if they would have shown that one. Either way, I think they're both top of the, like, doing well in the promotion. He's not just working.
No, he's not a slouch, but also.
That's all I was pointing out. That's all I was pointing out.
His brother got the championship when he was on the B team, all right? I'm just saying, Bray got something bigger than that.
Yeah, well, we will never know if he would have gotten tag champs with his brother. Maybe that was in the cards, and then things just changed.
It's interesting to see how much Bo was kind of involved in the whole like Uncle Howdy thing coming back.
Yeah, well, yeah, you have to think that he's been there since the beginning. That was the plan for them to both do it.
And that, you know, that's something that we, before the documentary, I think we all speculated about. You know, that was like, what was the plan going to be? Yeah. And I think that kind of goes to, you know, I know, here's my question for you, TBZ. We've talked in the past about your not being super keen on Uncle Howdy specifically being coming back and this sort of rehash thing. Do you feel differently about it having watched the documentary?
I don't feel differently, no. Like, I still felt like I wanted it to be... like. The comment I think you're referring to was just me saying when it was coming back, my fear was that it was going to be iterative. And I was like, just be your own thing. Don't try and, you know, catch that lightning in the bottle that you had. It does give a bit more like a backstory on what was happening at the end, because it did seem very rushed, shoddy. You know, it felt like Bray wasn't able to be himself. You know, it kind of felt like things were getting rushed, and then, you know, he kind of just disappeared and everything was like, what is happening? It was the uncertainty, and then all of a sudden it was over.
Was the impression from the documentary that Uncle Howdy and that newest version of the Fiend were going to be together? Did you get that maybe of them? I didn't know, and I don't know what we might eventually get down the road with them. But I thought that was maybe what they were kind of teasing. Like, this was the last version that we created with Bray. This was probably something that we were going to see on screen. That was my guess. Yeah. I don't know. But
yeah, that suit seemed iterative because, again, it was the same mask, just kind of slightly altered. And then his lantern was his old mask. So right there, it's an homage to who he used to be. I'll say this, though. The documentary definitely gave a lot more context to, like, all those things that were popping up in the crowd. And I was like, okay. Like, again, I didn't specifically know what all the animals were. So they went through that. And I was like, oh, okay. They're homages to all these things.
Yeah, it was... It's... Yeah, I'm glad we got what we got from Brian.
Oh, yeah. For sure. I'm mad because he's gone, you know, because I wanted more.
And the other thing I will say, just because I don't know if either of you heard about it, but there was some social media kerfuffle about JoJo in the last week. There was a video of her just having fun in a car with Liv Morgan. And a lot of people were like, oh, well, your husband's only been dead for like, fuck you,
dude.
People
can grieve wherever they want. I mean, that's also been more than a year.
And the small moments of joy are what gets you through the rest of the time.
Yeah, you make it sound like she's like moving on and getting married to somebody. She's just having fun with a friend? Question mark.
Yeah, and I think
that, or is fun a euphemism for something?
No, people are just saying. Yeah, no, just like she's dancing.
How dare she be happy? Yeah,
exactly. And I think that it's tough.
Well, fuck them.
Yeah, and which is Amanda Huber basically came out and said precisely that about it.
Like, yeah, those two ladies can tell everyone the fuck off, can't they?
Yeah, they can.
Yeah.
Well, this documentary has made me say, has made me want to say to you guys that I appreciate both of you. Because we could go to bed tonight and not be able to make another podcast episode. Who could say? That's what this what this documentary made me think. Life is so precious. It can go, like, we take it for granted. You know, there is the smallest little thing that could happen and it just totally fucks up your world. So I appreciate you guys and you honkers out there as well. I appreciate all of us being connected and living together. And let's focus on the good times, man.
I agree with you 100%. On everything you said, and there's a specific reason, and don't get mad when I say this, but it's true. It's because you only live once.
Yes, you only live once.
Thank God you didn't say anything about ice cream.
I didn't even think that was going to happen. Wow.
I was waiting for I was just like, he's going to say something about, man, why?
Damn.
Hey, you brought up Liv Morgan before I did. So.
I know. That's a totally different thing.
Bro. And I didn't at all. I haven't talked about her in the slightest.
I can't wait for her to start pegging Dom. He needs a new mommy.
This is true. This is
true. I thought she's the sub, though.
Well, we'll see.
All right. Well, that was a lot of wrestling.
It was indeed.
I think it. I think it's time for our Tope Suicida moment of the week. Keeping it low key, because, you know, with all the stuff we've talked about. But let's still keep it going and saying what we're appreciative and looking forward to in the wrestling world in the coming weeks.
Okay, I'm going to take this for a second.
Go for it.
If you're listening to this, it's most likely either Saturday or Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Please send a message to @WrestlingHonks. And ask if myself, Mr. Rizzo, is alive.
Are you doing okay? Is Mr. Rizzo okay?
The stress of the WWE draft that starts on Friday and goes through the weekend till Monday, and then the rules say that the official rosters lock on May 6th, it's going to kill me. Like, there's pools out that drive me nuts. The rules are slightly confusing, but we got rules. They're teasing me with a good time, and I know I'm just going to get sick. I'm going to get COVID at this damn party. That's all I'm expecting. I'm going to be so mad when they don't give me free ice cream.
We know how you feel about when you
and I have to pay for a meal that I don't even like. I'm going to be mad.
You're working yourself into a shoot, brother.
Yeah, like, I'm just getting more and more mad that I think it's going to be bad. But they teased us with a good time. They gave us rules before the match, before the show. And I'm kind of cool with that. But each round having two picks for both sides, 16 round. We'll see.
We will see what happens.
Just want some drama. That's what the look
is. RB.
Check out the show, then help me out. Make sure I'm okay.
My tope of the week, I think everyone should go to Willow Nightingale's X account and take a look at the beautiful pictures of her championship celebration with one Charles Entertainment Cheese. I think they are delightful.
Pictures of the pre-celebration before the celebration.
It's so good. You know, I've been talking about I can't wait for, like, Chris Statlander to turn and is Stokely going to turn. I just enjoy the three of them together. And you know what? I don't want it anymore. They could just be best friends forever. But the best friends are fighting. No! TBC, good, what's your tope?
Good riddance, I say. Trent's an asshole and you're better off without him. I mean, look at Wheeler Yuta. Look how better he's off without him.
AARB. Can Orange Cassidy and Chuck E. T still be best friends?
Also, Chris Statlander's still out there, so the trio still exists. That's the best friends. Trent isn't the best friends, okay? He adds to it. He doesn't make them up.
I'm trying to do a Freebird thing. We'll see what happens.
We're going to Freebird the role of the best friends, absolutely. TBZ, what's your tope?
I'm going to put it out there for Kenny Omega. I want to see what's going to happen here. I want to see what he has to say.
The best bout machine.
Is he here to come back or is he going away for a while? Because with that, I was starting to like fantasy book. I was like, man, we're on a crash course for Ospreay and Omega to fight.
I think my hope is that he's coming out to say that he is not cleared, but that he is going to be cleared for
Wembley.
Yeah.
I think he's going to show us the real video about what happened with the dog.
Oh, God. Please, no. It's like the one thing that is just like, just don't. We've got enough of it. I think
that's the one thing that has the NDA.
We've got the sore thumb known as Jack Perry to remind us.
No, that's a different thing. I was talking about the thing before that. That's what
we're
I was
talking about. Brawl in. We're talking about Brawl Out.
Yeah, I was talking about the thing that happened where the show after was in Buffalo. And we thought MJF was going to get the.
You know what? That's a good point. We shouldn't be welcoming people in because it's the end of the show. So get the fuck out, everybody. Check us out on our socials. Hit us up at X, formerly known as Twitter, at Wrestling Hawks, also on Blue Sky. Check us out YouTube, TikTok, Hurdy Gurdy, Instagram, all those socials. Welcome to Love Wrestling. Flim Flam, like, don't forget that.
If you would like to leave a comment or get your opinion known on the show, why don't you give us a message on our email. Mr. Rizzo, what is that email?
HonkIfYouLoveWrestling@gmail.com.
Yes, yes, yes.
And please go find us on your podcatcher of choice, especially Spotify, where your follows, your hearts, your thumbs up, they all help us, and they get more people to get into the wrestling game with this trio of honkers. But until next time, I will leave you all with a hearty honk. Honking like it's hot.
Honk, honk.
Honking like it's hot. I'll be right back.